Well, good morning, church. My name is Josh Rutherford. I am the assistant pastor in my residency here at South Creek, and it is such a privilege to be able to bring God's word to you this morning as we continue our series, Summer on the Mount, as we're looking at Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And I am really looking forward to this morning because this is actually a topic that I am an expert on. I know that is a very big claim to say that you are an expert in anything, but believe me, I have years of practice, countless hours. In fact, I was even honing my craft on this in preparation for this sermon. I am an expert on worry. I am so good at worrying that I worry about how much I worry. Some of you can relate to that. But if you don't believe me, I will share one example of a time that I worried a little too much. Maybe that will give me a little more clout of just how much I am an expert on worrying. But a few years ago, I worked for a company that did IT for businesses that didn't have their own in-house tech support. And I was at a client's and had fixed her computer. I don't remember her name at this point. We'll just say Nancy. But I had fixed her computer and called her to let her know that it was fixed. And I got her voicemail. I don't know about some of you, but I hate voicemail. I get so anxious about it. I'm already an anxious, awkward person. Any interaction that I have with people, I walk away from thinking, like, really, Josh? Did you really say that? And voicemail is so much worse because now someone has a recording of me being awkward and they can just keep playing it back and listen how awkward this guy is. I don't know how many times, I don't know who's going to even do that, but that's what goes through my head. And so I start to leave this voicemail to her. I'm like, hi, Nancy, just want to let you know that your computer is fixed. This is Josh, by the way. Ugh. And I hit the 3 button on the phone, which, if you're obsessive about voicemails like me, you know 3 is normally the button that you hit that you erase and re-record the message. It beeped back at me. So I'm like, hey, Nancy, this is Josh. Just want to let you know everything's good. And I'm making these noises too, like, it doesn't matter, whatever. I'm just going to erase, re-record. It beeps back at me. Nancy, no. Re-record. And I finally get to the point where I have this perfect... It probably took me 10, 15 minutes. I'm not even exaggerating here. This is how much I obsessed over voicemails. I probably finally have this perfect Kevin Beers-esque radio voice where I'm like, hello, Nancy. Just want to let you know I fixed your computer. It's good to go. You're all set. And I leave this voicemail and I'm done. I don't even think about it till a few days later. I'm in the office and it's an open office and my boss is around the corner and he yells over me. He's like, hey, what was the issue that Nancy had with her computer? And I explained what I did. And he's like, thanks for taking care of that. There's a pause. He said, she said your voicemail was cute. What's that about? I was like, I don't know, that's weird. Oh. As I start to realize that Nancy had a weird voicemail system. And worse than that, Nancy now had a weird voicemail of this weird guy just going blah, making all these guttural noises and just a blooper reel where he's just hitting this button again and again and starting over and she's playing this back. And so the very thing that I was worried about happening actually came true because I was so worried about it. Whereas if I would have just walked through my stumbling and not worried about it, she never would have thought anything about it. But now she probably has a story to tell to this day. Who knows, maybe even a recording. But today we were talking about worry. We are continuing in Matthew chapter 6, if you want to follow along. Jesus says this, starting out in verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? First, I'll point out, my childhood pastor, Fred Moore, whenever he preached, he would always say, whenever there's a therefore, you stop and see what it's there for. And so Jesus is actually referring back to what we learned about last week of storing up our treasures in heaven rather than storing up things of the earth. And so here we can see that there is correlation here to not worry about the things of this earth and store them up, but to be focused on God. And I would argue that there are 3 components to worry that make up this Venn diagram of what worry is, that we need to make these transitions into a different attitude, a different perspective, to move away from worry and to lean into what God has for us. The first one is one that I was trying to do in this story, and that's control. When we worry about things, we want control. Often we worry because there's a lack of control. We want things to go a certain way, and our expectations aren't being met, so we try to control that situation. We want to have that undo button. We want to hit three and redo and have another chance to do something. We take it on ourselves. We say, this is my problem. It's my solution. I have to fix this. But here's some words from another chronic worrier. The Apostle Peter says, actually, we're not there yet. Don't worry about it. First, Jesus says in verse 26, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? So again, we had this idea yesterday of storing up this treasure. And here we see that again, Jesus is repeating that. And even in the Luke account of this passage, it's even interwoven of don't chase after these earthly things. Don't store up. Don't try to fix your own problem. Instead, give it to God. In Exodus 16, the Israelites are in the desert. And God says, I am going to provide for you. I am going to feed you every day. But there's a catch. Anything that you try to store up, anything that you try to save tomorrow is going to spoil overnight. Because he wanted to have a reliance. He wanted them to trust in him that he would meet their needs. Jesus tells us to pray for our daily bread. He wants us to have a daily reliance on him. We aren't controlling the situation ourselves, but rather we are leaving it to God. So instead of trying to control, we move to casting. What do I mean by casting? Now we'll go and see what Peter has to say. In 1 Peter 5, 6 through 7, he says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Here in the original wording, cast means to throw or place upon. This isn't something that we're just kind of giving Jesus his portion. We're not just saying, hey, Jesus, help me carry this. We'll do a team lift. No, this is something that you are giving it fully. Cast all your anxieties onto God. We're freeing our hands, freeing the burden that we're carrying. And when we do so, we find that we are able to receive his provisions, receive his blessings. Because I can't receive them if my hands are filled with worry and doubt and trying to control something that isn't mine to control. But important in this is the first verse, verse 6, where Peter says, humble yourselves. I can't cast away control if I don't cast away my pride. If I'm not willing to say that this is God's to handle, this isn't mine, I'm going to hold on to it. But instead, we need to cast these things away, free our hands, and receive the blessing and the provision that God has for us. The next point is rumination. Worry consists of rumination. What do I mean by that? Well, I do realize that we are in Eden, so there are some that work on a farm that might be familiar with what rumination is when we talk about cows. It is the process in which a cow will regurgitate some of their undigested food and will ruminate on it, chew on the cud. Now, if you in reading this passage, we're a little bit worried about food and hungry. Hopefully that's taking care of it a little bit for you in the meantime, as you think of that imagery. But specifically, I'm talking about this definition of rumination. The focused attention on the symptoms of one's distress and on its possible causes and consequences as opposed to its solutions. This is something that's usually past tense. We usually ruminate on things, on how it affected us, how things should have gone, what we did wrong, what someone else did wrong. You see, with cows, rumination is actually an indication of their inner health. Based on when they ruminate and how long they do it, we can actually see how they've processed their food and their inner health. And for us, I know that we look at this passage and you see a bunch of future tense of don't worry about what will happen. But I would argue that the way we view our past also affects the way that we view our future. Verse 27, Jesus says this, "Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" I love the wordplay that Jesus uses here because it's an obvious answer. But it points out the ridiculousness of worry, of going back over, repeating what's already happened, what's already behind us, and ruminating on that, and letting it affect who we are in the moment. Another example that I can share. A few years ago, I had to work on Christmas Eve, and I got sent home halfway through the day. So it was great. I was like, oh, I actually am going to have half a day left to celebrate the holiday. And on the way home, I got pulled over by a cop and got a speeding ticket. And I had a reaction that maybe some of you can relate to of, well, there goes my day. Day ruined. And it was. Because for the rest of the day, I was thinking about, I can't believe I was so careless that I wasn't paying attention to how fast I was going. I can't believe, now I have to spend this money. I could have used this money for something else. And seriously, who sets up a speed trap in the afternoon on Christmas Eve? That's not okay. It's baby Jesus' birthday tonight. Why are you doing that? And I'm just going over this and in my head and sharing with people that are around me, and I was just miserable company because I felt like getting pulled over and having something bad happen ruined my day. But the reality is, that gave me a bad 5 minutes. It was rumination that gave me a bad day. It was not being able to let go of something that had happened and move on and look for ways that I could be a blessing to others. We learned last week that the one resource that we have that when we give away, we never get back is time. And rumination and regret steals time. It robs us of living an abundant life, of being able to invest in things that we should be investing in. I could tell you some other stories that aren't as fun, that had bigger implications on my life and thinking I didn't have a future because I was so hung up on what my past was. I failed out of school. I lost my job. No, not because of the voicemail thing. Broken relationships, different things had gone wrong. And I spent so much time thinking it's too late, to the point where I even tried to take my life at one point because I had no hope, I had no future. I was so hung up on what had happened in the past that I didn't see what was there in front of me. So instead of ruminating and regretting and spinning in place, we move to reflection. Reflection doesn't forget about the things that have happened. It doesn't dismiss the pain that we've been through. But it learns from it, it grows from it, and it sees the way that God has provided for us in our darkest hours. Continuing in verse 28. "Why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith?" Yes, God is going to feed us, but he does so much more than that. He doesn't just provide clothes. He dresses us beautifully. Go outside. It is a beautiful day today. Go out and look at the wonder of his creation, and it pales in comparison to the way that he is going to clothe you beautifully. It is never too late. Those moments that we've been through, those are growing moments. Your past doesn't say that you don't have a future. It helps guide it. It helps define it. It helps steer you on the path. It's never too late. Your future is not erased. Look back instead in reflection on what God has done for you, the ways that he has provided for you. Every single one of you has a story of that, and I know that because you're sitting here today. Think back on all the things that you were ruminating on, that you were so concerned about, that it was too late, that it was over for you. All these worries that you had, they were impossible. Any one of you could stand up here and talk about these things. of something that just took up all of your time of just worrying about all of these things, and now you look back on it 5, 10 years later, and you're like, what was I thinking? That wasn't an issue. God provided. God was there. God is writing a story on your heart. Who needs to hear that story? Maybe it's you. Maybe you need to remind yourself of the ways that God has provided for you. The third component is anxiety. Whereas rumination usually focuses on the past, anxiety is concerned with the future. Basically, anxiety is fear of uncertainty. Life seems chaotic. I am so worried about what's going to happen. There's so many unknown variables, and that's scary. What if I do this? What if I don't do this? We get so anxious about what can possibly happen. There's fear of the unknown. Jesus says in verse 31, "Do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." That last verse sounds like a Gandalf quote, just gonna say. But leave the worry to the future. If I'm going to give up control, if I'm going to see that God has done so many things for me, why am I so worried about what happens tomorrow? Here we see that Jesus mentions the pagans. They have the same needs that we do, and they chase after earthly things. They try to fix things and store things up, and they worry. And God says, stop wasting your time on worry. Worry distracts us. It takes us away from something that we're supposed to be doing. When we have anxiety, we have inaction. And the enemy would love nothing, nothing more than to see us just stay in place. In his book, The Screwtape Letters, C.S. Lewis writes from the vantage point of Screwtape, who's writing to his nephew, Wormwood. Wormwood is trying to influence a man and bring him out of God's influence and grasp. Screwtape writes this to him. "Crowd your man's mind with distraction, disillusions, divisive thoughts, discouragement, his fears and his failures. Self is the key. We want him thinking about his life, his frustrations, and his problems. When he lifts his eyes to God, we're in trouble. For the Son of God was lifted up. We need to keep your man's eyes fixed down. As soon as he looks up, he'll see how his existence is not about himself, but his Lord. What are my eyes fixed upon? When I look forward to my future, where is my focus? Am I looking at the things that could go wrong?" Again, repeating verse 33, "Seek first his kingdom, his righteousness. All these things will be given to you." Things that we're worried about will be given to us. I realize there's a lot of alliteration in my message today. It just happened. I don't know. And one that was tempting to use, and you may have seen this before, I've seen it on bumper stickers, I've used this myself as well, is faith over fear. And I like that. I like that concept of, despite the fear that we're facing, that we step out into faith, that we trust in God. But my one hesitation with that is that a lot of times when we talk about fear, we're talking about getting over our fears and getting through something. I think we can be so much more than that. Romans 8 says we are more than conquerors. Life isn't just about getting over something. Instead, I would say that we move from anxiety to anticipation. They're both similar. They both can make your heart race. They both can give you a sleepless night, but there is a key difference. Anxiety is looking at the mountain in front of you and saying, I don't know how I'm gonna get over this. I don't know if I can get over this. But anticipation? Anticipation is saying, I can't wait to see the view from up there. I can't wait to see what God is going to do on the other side of this. I don't ignore the size of the mountain in front of me or the pain of the valley that I'm in. But I am a man who has experienced God's faithfulness. There was another in the fire. And so I am looking forward. I count the joy come every battle. Even though it doesn't make sense from an earthly perspective, my eyes are fixed on the kingdom and what God can do. What is the mountain in front of you today? Maybe it's a health issue, physical or mental. Maybe it's a broken relationship. Maybe you've worried about a loss of a job, death of a loved one. Whatever it is in front of you, what if the thing that you're worrying about today is a story that someone needs to hear tomorrow? What if God isn't done yet, that he who started a good work in you will see it through to completion, and it will be a blessing to you and it will be a blessing to others as you stand and say, this is what God did for me, despite all the things that I tried to do to fix this. Despite the ways that I tried to control things, that I would give this up and realize that God is in control, that I cast this to him and he provided for me. To look at the ways that I ruminated over things that I struggled with, and instead of living in that moment time and time again, I looked for ways that God provided for me and the story that he wrote on my heart. Instead of operating out of anxiety of what are the things that could happen that go wrong, I look for the ways that God can use it, the way that God is going to grow me. I got this far, he'll get me through. Finally then, we can move from worry to wonder. Instead of looking at it from an earthly perspective of being so caught up in trying to control and regret and thinking through all these things that went wrong, I stand in awe of a God who can, who has, and who will provide for me. What is your worry today? What is the story that God is writing on your heart that you need to give it to him and trust in him? Let's pray. God, thank you so much for who you are. As we reflect back on the things that have happened in our lives, I know there are countless stories in here. I would love to hear them all, of just the many ways that you have provided for us. We are so much more valuable than sparrows, so much more precious to you than the flowers of the field. And if you take care of them, surely you have taken care of us. So whatever worry holds us down, whether it be something that we're looking in the past that we just can't let go, there's too much pain. There were too many mistakes. Ask that you would just empower us to let go of control of that, to release our hands, to receive your blessing instead. And that whatever is clouding our thoughts, whatever we came here with that we're worried about, maybe we put it back in the back of our minds. Because that's not what we do here. We're here to worship. But God, bring that back. Bring that back to the forefront. Help us realize that that anxiety, that worry, that's not something that we hide from you. It's something that we give to you. It's something that we trust with anticipation that you will do something so much greater in whatever that situation is. God, as we sing this song, just ask that you would spark something in us, that we would move away from worry and that we would stand in the wonder that is you, that we would be new vessels, that we would carry a story of your goodness and your grace. I ask all these things in your name, Lord. Amen.